All glories to the sum of devotees. All glories to the sum of devotees. All glories to the sum of devotees. All glories to see Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Nama Om Vishnu Vidai Krishna Vidasavare. Srimati Bhakti Vidamda Swamita Nama. Namaste Sarasati Devi. Gauravani Vachanya. Sisha Shunya Vidipastha Jagasutaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Okay, reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, let's see, third canto, chapter 5, excuse me, entitled Vidura's Talks with Maitreya Rishi, text number 10. Yeah, it seems like it. It might be the... Yeah, we have some books. It might be the breaker box. So, reading from a text number 10. So those who, I guess, have Bhagavatams, they can follow. Paravaresham Bhagavan Bratani Shrutani Me Vyasa Mukad Abhikshnam Atripnuma Atripnuma Kshula Sukavahanam Sukavahanam. Let's see. Tesham Rate Krishna Katamritangat Paravaresham Bhagavan Ratani Paravaresham Bhagavan Ratani Shrutani Me Vyasa Mukada Vikshnam Shrutani Me Vyasa Mukada Vikshnam Atripnumakshula Sukavanam Atripnumakshula Sukavahanam Desham Rite Krishna Katam Rita Ghat Desham Rite Krishna Katam Rita Ghat Paravaresham Bhagavan Ratani Shrutani me vyasa mukara bhikshnam Atripnumakshula sukavahanam Deshangrite krishna katangrita aghat ladies. Nimakshula Sukavahanam Teshangrite Krishna Katambrito Ghat Paravarisham Bhagavan Bratani Shrutani Me Vyasa Mukhara Bhikshnam Adripnumakshula Sukavahanam Tishangrite Krishna Gadangrita Ghat Pada higher Avaresham of these lower Bhagavan, O my Lord, O Great One, Bratani occupations. Shrutani, heard, may, by me, Vyasa, Vyasa, Mukat, from the mouth, Abhikshnam, repeatedly, Atripnuma, I am satisfied, Kshula, little, Saka, Sukha Avahanam, that which causes happiness. Tejam, out of that. Rate, without. Krishna Katha talks about the personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna. Amrita Ogat, from the nectar. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace. Shilesi Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai. O my Lord, I have repeatedly heard about these higher and lower statuses of human society from the mouth of Vyasadeva, and I am quite satisfied or satiated. Satiated with all these lower subject matters, lesser subject matters, excuse me, and their happiness. They have not satisfied me with the nectar of topics about Krishna. Purport. Because people are very much interested in hearing social and historical presentations, Srila Vyasadeva has compiled many books such as the Puranas and Mahabharata. These books are reading matter for the mass of people, and they were compiled with a view to reviving their God consciousness, now forgotten in the conditioned life of material existence. Conditional life of material existence. The real purpose of such literatures is not so much to present topics of historical references, but to revive the people's sense of God consciousness. For example, Mahabharata is the history of the Battle of Kurukshetra, and common people read it because it is full of topics regarding the social, political, and economic problems of human society. But factually, the most important part of Mahabharata is Bhagavad Gita, which is automatically taught to readers along with the historical narrations of the Battle of Kurukshetra. Vidura explained to Maitreya his position of being fully satiated with the knowledge of mundane social and political topics and having no more interest in them. He was anxious to hear transcendental topics regarding Lord Sri Krishna. Because there were insufficient topics directly concerning Krishna in the Puranas and Mahabharata, etc., he was not satisfied and wanted to know more about Krishna. Krishna Katha, or topics regarding Krishna, are transcendental, and there is no satiation in hearing such topics. Bhagavad Gita is important on account of its being Krishna Katha, or speeches delivered by Lord Krishna. The story of the Battle of Kurukshetra may be interesting for the mass of people, but to a person like Vidura, who is highly advanced in devotional service only Krishna Katha and that which is dovetailed with Krishna Katha is interesting. Vidura wanted to hear of everything from Maitreya, and so he inquired from him. But he desired that all the topics be in relationship with Krishna. Such fire is never satisfied in its consumption of firewood. So a pure devotee of the Lord never hears enough about Krishna. Historical events and other narrations concerning social and political incidents all become transcendental as soon as they are in relationship with Krishna. That is the way to transform mundane things into spiritual identity. The whole world can be transformed into Vaikuntha if all worldly activities were dovetailed with Krishna Katha. There are two important Krishna Kathas current in the world, Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhagavad Gita is Krishna Katha because it is spoken by Krishna, whereas Srimad Bhagavatam is Krishna Katha because it narrates about Krishna. Lord Chaitanya advised all his disciples to preach Krishna Katha all over the world without discrimination, because the transcendental value of Krishna Katha can purify one and all from material contamination. Wow. Om Gyan Tamirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Jena Tasmai Si Guru Venama Tam Guru Deva Chalam Pangam Vangaya Tegim Yarki Vitamande Sigram Tinitarim Paramananda Madhavam Si Chaitanya Ishwaram. Prabhupada is so empowered by Krishna that every word he gives, whether it be Bhagavad Gita, through his tapes, through his songs even, and through his purports here, we can just, we can't even grasp a teeny bit of what kind of a realization he's experiencing here. But Prabhupada begins here by pointing out how people are very much interested in hearing social and historical presentations. And we see that throughout history. People are very much interested in hearing about what's going on in the neighborhood, what's going on in the state, what's going on in the country, what's going on in the world. And there are some people who may be interested in conversations beyond this world into other universes. Therefore, they travel there by their astral projections, right? The yogis, they can travel from here to there. They go everywhere. There's a lot of conversations going on out there. Shrotavyadini Rajanda Ninam Shanti Sahasrasha. So certainly those who are materially engrossed and blind to knowledge of the absolute, they may be very intelligent. Certainly there's many, many intelligent people in the world. We can't take that away from them. They study life after, year after year. They're trying to get all kinds of letters behind their name and hoping that by this degree and this title and that title they can achieve some kind of satisfaction. And they create all kinds of social clubs. They create all kinds of societies. And now more than ever, people are engaged in the internet. So many chat rooms and this thing and that thing. People talk about, I heard just something, Twitter is also again back in the news. For a while there it had died.
peacefully. But now it's resurrected, and people are again interested in such conversations, as Prabhupada points out here. They're interested in hearing what's going on and what sort of history is happening in this place and that place. But not knowing, not really understanding what knowledge is, they may be, again, educated in so many different sciences and so many different fields, just like that very nice story that Prabhupada gives of the boatman and the, was it scholar? Huh? Scholar, right. Right? The scholar was saying, have you heard about, have you studied astrology? No, I haven't. Oh, 25% of your life is wasted. Oh, do you know anything about some other science? Oh, well, 50% of your life is wasted. Well, have you at least studied something about this? Well, no, 75. And then all of a sudden the storm comes. And the fisherman asks the scientist, looks like the boat is going to be overcome. Can you swim? And the scientist says, no, I can't. Oh, the boatman jumps in the water. 100% of your life is wasted. And he swims off. So what is the use of such education and material advancement? Without understanding the ultimate truth, there's really no benefit. Therefore, the Bhagavatam tells us, Vasudeva Kata Prashna, right? As soon as there's a questions, Purusham Trin Punatihi, as soon as there's questions about the absolute truth, then just as the Ganga purifies the three worlds because it's emanated from the lotus feet of the Lord, it's supremely pure. And, of course, so many people may question that. They may even go to the bank of the Ganges and they consider, well, all these things are floating around inside the Ganga. How can it be pure? You see sometimes bodies, sometimes unmentionable things, moochy, dirty things, and one may think, oh, this is not, no. The Gangam Basham Kalabhut Buddha Pena, it can never be contaminated by these material contacts because it's transcendental. Because it's emanated from the lotus feet of the Lord, it's touched the lotus feet of the Lord, it's become supremely pure. So it's described that just as that Ganga can purify the three worlds, right? The upper, lower, middle, it purifies. So also questions about the personality of Godhead purifies those who ask the questions, those who are speaking and answering those questions, and those who may be hearing. You may not ask a question, that's okay. Just like here, sometimes there's no question, but that's okay. Just by hearing what the Supreme Personality of Godhead has said and what the pure devotees are telling us, right? Yes, chadaya shuta bhaktya cha bhaktya. That just by hearing with a little eagerness and a little attention, a little devotion, one becomes purified. Even you don't understand it. Just like people, they don't really understand who are these people out there. They're chanting Hare Krishna in these strange mantras in strange dress. They can't appreciate it. Or what is this book all about? It has a picture of, who is this a woman on the front? Right? They're thinking, who is this beautiful woman? It's Krishna. So they may not quite understand. But just as the Ganga purifies also questions about that personality of Godhead and discussions about that personality of Godhead, it purifies just as the Ganga purifies. It's so effective. And so here, Vidura is inquiring because, again, he was eager. He was eager to hear about those instructions. And so the Bhagavatam tells us, by meditating upon those discussions within the heart becomes enlightened with transcendental knowledge. And on the strength of that knowledge, one develops a detachment. That is the effect of hearing about the personality of Godhead. It's so powerful that by hearing about it, one develops a detachment from other things. And on the strength of that detachment, one becomes pacified. So here, also, Vidura, he's heard enough about these things, these descriptions in the Mahabharata Puranas, which is very satisfying, certainly. But he wanted more. He wanted to hear more about the personality of Godhead. Just like, again, we can get in, sometimes you hear people, they get into all sorts of conversations. But until you finally get to the bottom line, the whole conversation is a waste of time. The whole conversation is a waste of time. Until you get finally to the bottom line, okay, what is it that you want? Why are you giving me, why are we going in these roundabout discussions? What is it that you actually want? And until you get to that point, it's never satisfying. So Vidura also wanted to get right to the point. Let's get right to the point and hear about the personality of Godhead. And why? Tavakatam ritam tapta jivanam. Because it's by hearing about Krishna directly that one becomes freed from all of the miseries of material life. And that's actually the goal. The goal is not to become entangled in conversations, as here Prabhupada points out. There are all sorts of reading for the mass of people. They're reading all sorts of things. They're discussing all sorts of things. And so to direct them, he had to write the Puranas and Mahabharata to try and pull them out of that just that, what's the word? Well, out of Gramya Katha, certainly. But out of survival mode, right? We don't want to just survive. We don't want to just get by. And this is generally the mentality you see in the material world. People just want to get by. They just want to make enough money to make the rent, make enough money to, or have enough food to eat, which is okay. But there's a point where you want more than that. You need more than that. Otherwise, the heart is not satisfied. The self is not truly satisfied. So one has to hear or get to the bottom line. And one has to hear it from the proper personality, certainly, as we've been hearing so nicely for these last weeks, actually, this conversations that are going on between Vidura Maitreya and Shukadeva Maharaj. And the whole Bhagavatam is all about that, the wonderful conversations that are getting right to the heart of the matter. Because it's the heart of the matter that is going to solve the miseries and the confusion that people are experiencing. And only someone who's wants to hurt himself or herself or hurt others would not be interested in such subject matter, right? Nirita Tarsha Ubigiyamana. The Bhagavatam, the discussions of the personality of Godhead and his devotees, are the medicine. It's the proper medicine for curing the miseries of material life. And who accepts a butcher or someone who's killing oneself would not be interested in such subject matter? We can see it practically, right? When you go out and you speak to people and you try to share a Krishna consciousness, sometimes they're so engrossed in material life that there's no way to get through. How do you get through to them? They don't want to hear. They'd rather just torture themselves practically. It's practically torturing themselves in their materialistic ways. Whether it's taking intoxication, how can you find any satisfaction? Prabhupada gives the example of smoking as inhaling fire. How can you be satisfied by that? That's the terrible illusion and the mode of ignorance that's set in. Smoking fire or drinking fire, right? Fire water. They're drinking fire. They're smoking fire. What is it? It doesn't make sense. But that is the state. Therefore, Vyasadeva had to kindly compile the Vedic literatures to try and pull the masses of people out of this darkness. And then he... synthesized or put everything into distilled. That's the word. He distilled everything in the case of Srimad Bhagavatam. Idam Bhagavatam Nama Purana Brahma Samhitam Uttama Shloka Charitam Chakara Bhagavan Rishi Nishaya Saya Lokasya Dhanyan Sastayana Mahat. The Bhagavatam actually it is meant for the good of all people. It's not meant for just, you know, this one or that one or those who may be interested, those who are... No, it's meant for the good of all people. He was so kind, and Prabhupada makes this point so nicely in this purport. He was so generous as to give us the Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. There's two Krishna Kathas, he points out here, Srila Prabhupada. And that Bhagavatam is meant for the good of all people. Some people can't appreciate Bhagavad Gita because it's Krishna's lecturing. And it's hard sometimes to hear from someone who's speaking at you, isn't it? Nobody likes a conversation, that kind of a conversation. Who wants to talk to somebody who's talking at you? But Krishna had to give that instruction to Arjuna so that he would wake up, and certainly as an example. But the Bhagavatam is much more different. It's much more nectarian in the sense that anyone can understand and relate to how the Lord is dealing with his devotees, how he protects his devotees, how the devotees have loving interactions. And that, of course, is even more distilled in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. But the Bhagavatam, we can understand, it's meant for the good of all people. And it's all successful. Simply by hearing about the Bhagavatam, one's life will become successful. So someone may ask, well, how is that? Well, because the Bhagavatam is so purifying that it cleanses the heart. Right, we say this verse, Srinivatasva Katha Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana. That it purifies the heart. It's so effective. It's so powerful. Therefore, it's all successful. If your heart is purified, then you become happy. That's the goal. That's real success, isn't it? When people talk about success, what do they equate as being successful? When you're happy, it's not just cars. It's not money. It's not this thing, that thing, material things, bodily things, mental things, even knowledge. It's none of those, or mystic yoga. It's none of those things. But real success is that when one becomes satisfied and happy within oneself. So the Bhagavatam provides that success. Therefore, it's all blissful. It's all blissful. When you hear the descriptions that are there given in the Bhagavatam, it's so blissful. It's so wonderful to hear and read how, whether a Kapila Dev instructing Devahuti, or you're hearing about Draupadi's surrender, you're hearing about the Prachana Parishad, or Rishabdev, or Prahlad, or Vrichasura even. Isn't it? The great devotees who by their surrender obtain the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So hearing about those things is very blissful. Therefore, it's described that it's all perfect. Everything, that whenever someone hears or discusses the topics given in the Bhagavatam, it's perfection. Kali Yuga, what is that? Kali Kali Nama Konadharm. I can't remember the verse. Vaishnava Vaishnava Shastra Shastramarm. That in the Kali Yuga there are no religious principles. There's no scriptures. There's only Vaishnavas and Vaishnav literatures. Everything else is of no benefit. It may agitate the brain for a little while. You may become stimulated and you want to follow this thing that's going on, or that incident that happened. You may get stimulated by that kind of discussion, that kind of exchange. You may get a little bit of stimulation, but there's no satisfaction there. It comes and goes. But the nectar of hearing about Krishna's pastimes and the pastimes of his devotees, they're ever blissful. They're ever increasing. And Vidura is a practical example here. We'll end there. Are there any questions or comments? Yes, Mataji.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Prabhu. I just wanted to... you were talking about Ganga Mata and the purifying effects of Ganga Mata as... like Krishna Katha, how it cleanses the soul. And I just was reading just the other day about how, you know, Jamuna has been basically kidnapped and for agriculture industry and for, you know, water supplies for the various cities that run along the route, and that basically after Delhi, there is no more any Jamuna, except for when the runoff comes back into the Jamuna from the fields full of chemicals and the effluent from the city. And it's just how, you know, how progressive is Kali Yuga and how urgent actually is the situation right now on the planet. And that's rather depressing. So I thought I would just add some about, you know, Krishna, that he's Krishna, the embodiment of all the six opulences, and how he has unlimited, innumerable attributes, in his inconceivable attributes, amongst which is the most quintessence of all those is his exquisite beauty, which charms the hearts of all and which causes mountains to tremble and animals, living beings, to become frozen, and how it sends the gopis and the cowherd boys into ecstatic symptoms of tears pouring from the eyes and trembling because it's because they can't contain the emotion that they feel when they hear the sound of the flute, because it reconnects the soul. I just wanted to say that.
Kali Kali Ar Nahi Kona Dharm. The Bhagavatam, or the Chaitanya Charitamrita, tells us there's no good things going on in the Kali Yuga. There's only Vaishnavas and Vaishnavas Shastras, which are, there's nothing auspicious about this age except the Vaishnavas and the Vaishnava literatures, which are describing these wonderful qualities of Krishna and in Vrindavan, Krishna in his exchanges with his devotees, in the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There's nothing else that's of any value. It's just all a distraction. Any other questions or comments?
Yes, Prabhu. Prabhu, I've been on this journey of Krishna consciousness for a while. I've been living here 14 years and then in Northern California. And I'm struggling with both the worlds, the material and the spiritual world. I seem to possess a lot of intense energy. It's just pure energy. It neither for Krishna or for the material world. There's a surge of energy that I have to manage like a Sanjay Khosla within myself. And I'm having a great challenge because this energy wants to feel bliss and ecstasy on an ongoing basis. And when I hear in the material world and spiritual world this whole divide, there's a constant struggle. At the end of the day, whether it's material or spiritual, bottom line today, as you said, that, you know, let's cut to the chase. I want to feel happiness and I want to feel bliss. I'm not feeling the ecstasy neither in the spiritual world nor in the material world. What stage is this I'm going through? Is this something, I'm missing something here? At the end of the day, I don't really care now what conversation goes on. I want to feel happy. I want to feel blissful. Any advice, any thoughts?
Well, you know, this verse addresses that very question that I've repeatedly heard about these higher and lower situations or statuses of human society. So he's heard all sorts of things, just as we hear so many things in the world. And I'm quite satiated with all these lesser subject matters and their happiness. They have not satisfied me with the nectar of topics. So it's a question of hearing. It's a matter of hearing from the right source. You have to hear. If you don't hear properly, then how can you become purified? Everyone is struggling with that being a sort of in-between state. We're struggling with executing Krishna consciousness because it requires a certain dedication. We're not satisfied by material life. We've been dedicated to that forever. That hasn't done anything for us. So what is the solution? Okay, the solution is, Krishna says, tadvidi paripatena. You have to go to someone who can give you a transcendental knowledge. Sometimes we may not fully understand what spiritual practice means. We don't have enough information about what is spiritual, the spiritual realm. So it's again, and we may think, well, that's not satisfying me. Well, then you have to again find someone who can give you that proper understanding. Just as Vidura here, he went to Maitreya because Maitreya was qualified to give him that enlightenment. So you're coming here because you're searching. Just like all of us, we came here to Krishna consciousness because we're searching, and we have someone who can enlighten us. So it's a matter of, it's a question of listening, and listening in an honest way. You have to be honest with yourself. You have to be honest that am I sincerely wanting to hear, or am I just trying to look for some gratification here? Am I trying to get a little bit of pleasure and then I can be happy as I'm driving down the street in my fancy car? That's not the goal. The goal is to become detached from all of these things, develop transcendental knowledge, the heart becomes pacified finally. And then you develop detachment from the material world. Otherwise, you know, one should question, am I truly satiated with material life?
Thank you, Prabhu. I have a comment in regards to one thing that you mentioned, that achieving success, what is real success. And that reminds me of Srila Prabhupada one time was invited to speak, and the engagement was among the most rich people. And maybe this can also, you can get something out of this. The most rich, which is the Birla family. So they ask, which theme would you like, you know, what do you want us to talk about it? So he said that, they said, success. And then Srila Prabhupada started talking. This is the top most rich people in India, the Birlas. But they want to hear about success. So obviously Prabhupada chose to speak about the internal energy and the material energy. So based in that talk, he just said, real success will come, I'm just paraphrasing, if you get in touch with internal energy. If you choose the external energy, you keep coming back. So, and similarly, in some ways, you know, we go and present our books in the universities and colleges. Some students, they come and say, what do you want? What is this? What are you doing this for? And then we, you know, you can make a big list how to answer that question. But sometimes, oh, we're given an alternative of wisdom, of knowledge. And then I say, if I can bring back that, if I can turn that question to you, where do you come to the school? To be educated, I mean, to get a profession, to do what? Get money, then what? Get married, then what? And then you go on and on, to be ultimately what? Happy. Do you really get happy? And so he gave you a good answer, Naikadma, about, you know, it's a matter of you choose. It's ultimately we have to choose what we want to do. It might be painful in the beginning, but later on can be like nectar. In the beginning it might be like poison, but the Bhagavad Gita, there's a verse, it might be like a nectar later on. So.
Maharaj? Thank you.
I think all of these different points are valid. They all make a lot of sense, and they all lead to the ultimate goal. If one views the ultimate goal from the point of view that I'm not so great, I'm not so glorious, I'm not so wonderful, I'm not so amazing, but I'm small, I'm insignificant, I have failings, I have difficulties, like that. When you start from there, you only can go up. But when you start from the idea that you're very high, you're very great, you're so smart, you're so intelligent, you can't go very far. So the problem is one of patience. This is a very important point in spiritual life. The question is, do we go by Krishna's speed for us, or do we go by our speed for us? Why should I even think that I should have all this ecstasy when I'm so full of impurities at this point? Shouldn't I be focusing and concentrating on, as it was mentioned in the class, on cleansing, on purifying, and uplifting, and enlivening? All these things come first, and then the ecstasy comes. First, get pure. It's like, how can I feel clean if I've come, I'm rolling in the mud, and I'm looking at the bath, but I haven't gotten into the bath, so I can't feel clean. Because I haven't washed myself. To feel clean, I have to wash myself. So I go into the bath and I take all the filth off. So we have to take the position that we have much filth yet to take off. And that's not something bad. It's something we sort of inherit as we grow up. You don't become pure unless you do those things, as was mentioned in the class, that make us pure. Chanting Hare Krishna, things like that, doing bhajans, doing service. All of these things make us purer. And one should not say to himself, am I supremely pure now? No, leave that to Krishna to decide. And if we leave it to Krishna to decide and be patient to get his decision when you should get all that ecstasy that we hear about Lord Chaitanya and all of his associates, then everything will go very smoothly. Otherwise, we will be trying to rush something which we may not be ready for. Example, let us say the Lord gave you a degree of ecstasy that, for example, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu manifests. But you're not ready for that. You're not capable of handling it. You think you're proud. You get proud. You think you're wonderful. You think you're glorious. You're so much above everybody else that all you do is look down at everybody and go down as a result of looking down. By looking up, you go up. So the point is this, is that Krishna is looking after us and making sure that we don't fall down. You fall down when you think you're great, proud, glorious, wonderful. Look at me, nobody else has this, I've got it. So this false pride has to be completely squelched, has to be completely stepped on until there's nothing left there. All the great saints and sages, you find that they're very, very humble. So humble that if you try to imitate them, you don't even feel comfortable because it's not you yet. And that's what we have to work on, the yet, the getting higher, and understanding that we have a long place, long time to go. And if we take that position, you're never frustrated. It's when you think, I should get it now, that the frustration comes in. So take a humble position, take a patient position, take an understanding position, and understand that God knows better than you, me, and anyone else when you should get those things, if in this lifetime you should even get them. We cannot say. It all depends upon where you are now, and how you are responding to the guidance and direction that God is giving you from within and from without, from devotees like Nikatma, who's giving classes like today. So, give some time. And if you do that, you will be very pleasantly surprised. But if you give no time, there will be no surprise because you will not get the goal that you seek.
Prabhupada ki jai.